Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Adventures.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Palatine.
Welcome market. Back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Randall.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy Susie Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Slivka. Today we have back Coley from Alabama, correct?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's snowed for the first time today, so that's not great, but it signals kind of the end of the fishing season for us.
But, it's starting to get cold around here too.
Yeah. But I wanted to have you on today because obviously the UKFL team won the whole championship. And I was trying to have you and Dan on here to talk about the win and how you guys, throughout the season, how you guys kept your mindset going forward and all that good stuff. If you just want to get started by just explaining kind of what happened.
Yeah, our team's the we fish for the KFL, it's Acoustic Kingfishers, and it's, you know, on the team, it's Dan Perry, me, Chuck Weiss, Lance Coley, Jordan Marshall, Dustin Nichols, Nick Dyer, Joe McElroy. There's eight of us on the team, and, you know, we just knew going into this year that we fished last year, and we did well. We made it to the playoffs, ended up losing in Texas. But we just knew going into this, you know, if we were going to do it right, we needed to, you know, all be on the same page. You know, nobody would hold anything back as far as, like, you know, going into an event. We would, you know, share information as far as, like, hey, what's working for me? What's not working? And we would, like, dissect the lake, whatever lake we were going to. You know, we would have, a real good game plan going into it. You know, we wouldn't just show up and fish. We would, you know, hey, I'm going to this part of the lake, you know. Joe might go down here, Dan's going down here, and then we'd just kind of all, at the end of the day, and throughout the day, really, just stay, you know, in touch and communicate. That was the biggest thing for our success was probably, you know, communicating. You know, we talked a lot throughout the season, and, you know, as far as water and how we're breaking down the water, and honestly, I think we all got better as the year went on because, you know, you got people like Dan Perry, Chuck Weiss, Joe, Jordan, Dustin Nichols. I mean, you got some of the best guys, you know, in kayak fishing, and you get to pick their brain a little bit. You know, we're all sharing, you know, hey, what, you know, what their styles are and how they break down water. So it was really cool to, you know, be able to experience that and all work together as a team to have the same end goal. And, you know, we got it done. But I would say, you know, moving forward, that was probably the key to our success was, you know, communicating. You know, we just threw it all out there. We knew we couldn't win if we held anything back. So,
yeah. So at the beginning of the season, I mean, I don't know exactly what your guys' schedule was. Was there anything that kind of like you guys had either like a hiccup on or something that was like a struggle or not even at the beginning, but throughout the season?
I wouldn't say we really struggled. We had a really solid year. We pretty much, I mean, we took care of business. Like our four home games, I mean, you know, or home tournaments, as you want to call it. I mean, we basically, you know, we won by a pretty good margin. We fished against some really good teams. It's just, you know, coming to this area of Alabama and, you know, if you've never been here before or haven't spent much time here, it can really, you know, make you hate it. I mean, it can, you know, people can be crushing them, you know, right next to you or right down, you know, the water from you and you're just, you know, not getting bit or, you know, I mean, it's just, this place is really, really special. And we knew that how tough this place could be from, you know, somebody from the outside coming in. So we were like, well, you know, we'll have our home tournaments here and that'll give us the biggest advantage is winning all of our home tournaments. And then, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of experience in traveling, you know, I mean, I think we all travel, everybody on the team travels and have all done good traveling, you know, in tournaments out of state. So it was, we felt good about, you know, matching up or, you know, if we had some close tournaments, you know, we weren't too worried about it. But we ended up losing. We lost two of our away tournaments. We lost at Hyco to the Tar Heels. You know, hats off to them. We they got on a late day flurry and, you know, they beat us, flat out beat us. But we didn't lose by a whole lot to them. And then we went to Santee Cooper and fished against the South Carolina team. And it was just a tough time to be there. Even the home team only caught 9 fish, so of the 10 fish limit. So they didn't even have a complete limit. And then I think I caught the only 3 or 4 that we had on the board. So it was a struggle for everybody, it seemed like. And from what I gathered, it was just that time of year. It was that funk, you know, so. But we weren't too worried about it. We knew we were sitting pretty good going in the playoff, you know, bracket. We just didn't know where we'd fall, and we just took care of business in the playoffs. And really, I think our best tournaments were in the playoffs. I think we had the best limits in the playoffs, and then, you know, we did basically the whole year. So when it mattered, we took care of business. But yeah, it was, we were just really confident in the, you know, the guys we had on the team. I mean, you know, you look at them and you look at what they've done on and off the water, and I mean, it's hard to argue with.
No, that's good to hear. Is there anything that you guys are look back on and say, well, even though we won this year, we can do this better or we could do that better?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, there was, you know, several times like during traveling that, you know, like at Hyco, I mean, I was catching them in one specific spot. I caught probably in the, you know, low to mid 20s on fish off one little spot over about a 3-hour period. I mean, I caught 6 on back to back cast, and it's just, you know, little stuff like that that was like, well, should I have left those numbers? Because there was quality there, but you had to catch, you know, 5 or 6, and then you'd hook a decent one or a good one. And looking back at it, you know, I thought, well, should I have not caught 30 fish that day and just went and looked for, you know, 2 or 3 big ones? But that was kind of the game plan. In practice, Joe had over 100 inches and 5 fish in one day, so he felt really good. And then I'd caught like 92 or 93 inches on my first day of practice there. So I was feeling, you know, pretty good. And I was like, you know, if we can just do what we did in practice, we should be sitting all right. And then, you know, of course, Dan and Lance, you know, the sticks they are, you know, we're like, well, they'll have a solid game plan and, well, they're going to catch fish. So we felt really confident going into it. And it was like, you know, tournament day comes around and That specific lake is very well known for like wake boats and you know, skiing and stuff like that. And, it's a fairly large lake, but it fishes really small, like as far as like some of those creek arms and, you know, sloughs and coves. And that was how they ended up getting a school fired up. You know, I was fishing up a creek arm in about, you know, 6 to 10 foot of water, and was catching them off a stump. And I didn't have any boat traffic really back there other than a few small, you know, boats, bass boats. But none of the, like, you know, the wake boats or nothing. And that was where they ended up catching their fish, was a couple wake boats come through pushing some wakes. And I guess it pushed some bait up in there and triggered those schools to start feeding. And, you know, they caught some really nice fish right there in the last 20, 30 minutes that, you know, edged us out, and they ended up winning. But it was really, that was something I learned, as you know, I mean, that never really fished a lot of lakes with the kind of wake boat traffic that one had. I mean, there was just a ton of people out there on the water, and it was,
they do not care about us.
Oh no. I mean, it was like, I mean, there were huge waves, and even with my motor, I mean, it was, you know, and I was, and the waves were crashing over the front of my kayak, and I was like, oh man. I mean, there were several times I went to the bank, and I think it was worse on the bank than it was on the out in the off the shore. But yeah, but I mean, that was, I guess looking back, I just kind of,
you ready,
showtime
on May 3rd. Summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Should I have took a different approach to it and went and, you know, I'd caught a few big fish in practice, you know, 19, 18, 19 plus inch fish. So I felt like I could run across them, or at least I knew where they were at, but I didn't necessarily get those bites during the tournament. And looking back at it, I just wonder if I should have focused a little different as far as trying to find some bigger schools of quality fish, you know, 3 or 4 fish here and there schooled up or, but if we ever went back, I would like to fish that lake again. It had a lot of potential, and it was a pretty lake. It's different than a lot around here. It was really deep. Didn't have a lot of shoreline structure. You had docks. We had a few docks, but it was more like a Smith Lake kind of deal. It was, you know, fairly deep, and just, you know, pretty clean as far as like the lake and the layout of it. There wasn't a lot of laydowns or stuff, trash or anything in the lake. So those fish just kind of roam and schooled and chased bait everywhere. It seemed like all day, and it was, you know, you could find them on the graph 1 minute, and then, you know, they're completely gone, and they'll come back, or another school would move up. And I mean, it was a neat layout of that lake.
Yeah. It just sounds like the pleasure boaters kind of got the best of you there.
Yeah, they definitely wore us out. I felt like I was in the ocean all day. I was like, oh my gosh. Hey.
All right, so let's kind of switch gears to championship weekend, we'll call it. And how did you guys feel going into that weekend, and how did you guys kind of like prepare for it?
Well, I fished chick a few times, and I like chick, and I like the grass, and I like how it fishes. And, you know, our team as a whole had a pretty good bit of experience there. You know, Joe has fished there for years and years and understands that place better than most people do. And, Jordan, you know, won the Tennessee State Championship up there this year. So, you know, he likes that lake pretty good and has always done well there. And, you know, Dan's fished it, Chuck's fished it, Lance has fished it. And, you know, we just – we all talked and it was a pretty cool deal because, you know, there's eight of us on the team. And so we all were like, hey, we'll just all go and we'll all stay together. And, you know, whoever gets on the best consistent pattern will fish Saturday. You know, no hard feelings to, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have cared if it wasn't me or if the team wouldn't have picked me to fish. I did not care because, I mean, I was looking at it from a team standpoint. And if I wasn't on fish or wasn't catching fish, I was gladly going to sit it out. But, you know, we went, seven of us went. Dustin ended up having to work, so he didn't get to come. We really hate that, but we had a good time. And so seven of us went. And we all started fishing. You know, some people pre-fish Friday, some pre-fish Thursday, Friday, and then me and Joe pre-fished Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I caught plenty of fish on Wednesday, just not the size I was looking for. You know, all 16 or less inch fish. I probably caught, you know, 15 or so, and was just kind of constantly moving. Wasn't really breaking down one specific area. And then Thursday, you know, went into it, caught a few fish. I was like, okay, I'm kind of picking up the pattern, what they're doing, how they're setting up and everything. And you know, Friday went, fished a different area and found them. I mean, I found some quality fish. I mean, like, you know, 19, 20 inch fish. And I caught a 21 on Friday, which I hate that I caught her, but I caught a 21, I caught an 18 and a half and a 17. And I was like, I'm done. I'm not fishing anymore. The team ended up picking me to fish. So me, Dan had a really good practice. I mean, Dan doing Dan things. He had a good practice. He caught fish, got on a heck of a pattern. So we felt like, you know, he needed to fish. Joe had been spending a lot of time practicing. He had been, you know, doing really well, fishing really good, and, you know, as good as Jordan has fished on that lake, and, you know, knowing what he can do on that lake, we were like, okay, the team all agreed that, you know, Jordan, Joe, Dan, and myself would go out and fish on the championship, and we felt like that would give us pretty good odds. And we were all really kind of spread out across the lake. I think the only people that were really close were me and Joe. Me and Joe launched at the same ramp. And Joe fished, like, you know, back in some coves, and I fished all main river grass out there on some of the bars and the grass flats. And it started out as a struggle for me. I'm not even going to lie to you. I mean, I caught a 16, and then I lost about an 18 or better, and then I lost another one that was probably in the 16, 17 inch range, and the wind picked up really strong, and I was like, this is what I need. I need this wind to pick up. And they were short striking it, but they weren't really committing to my bait. They weren't, you know, eating it. The ones that I caught were all, like, you know, barely hooked inside the lip or on the outside of the lip or the face. It was like they were coming up and hitting it with their face, but they weren't, you know, really committing to it. And so I made a move, covered a bunch of water, and I knew what I wanted to fish and what the fish were relating to. So I just needed to find more of it. And I did. I mean, I ended up finding some of it. And me and Derek Brundle from the Massachusetts team were fishing about a mile apart. But he was fishing kind of the same stuff that I was focusing on. And ended up having fish blowing up all around me. Missed a few. I had Keith Lambert follow me with a camera. They were flying a drone. It was pretty cool. I got some cool drone shots. And it was really weird. There was no current, and the wake boats or the big barges, like, you know, I mean, it was like these big yachts would come down the main river. There was no current. There was hardly no wind at this point. It completely died down. And these yachts and stuff would come by, and it would push the wakes up in this grass. And when the waves would crash and hit in the grass, the bass would start busting shad because there was shad everywhere, like little 2-3 inch thread fins. And so I was like, okay, it's all about timing. I need to be here, sitting here when this goes down. And so I stayed right there. I threw and threw and threw, and they wouldn't even look at it. And a big yacht come down the river. And I was like, okay, it's about to happen. I'm just going to sit right here, and I'm not going to throw till that wake crashes. And when the wake started crashing, I seen them, you know, subsurface, just eating them. Just boom, boom. And so I picked up and threw over there, and I had an absolute giant come off. And Keith was my witness. It was probably my PB. I mean, it was a two-footer. I mean, it was for sure. It came up, her whole head come out of the water and ate it. Went back down. I let her have it. I set the hook and brought her up, and she came up like her upside down, shaking her mouth. And I mean, it was insane. I had like a mental breakdown. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, oh my god. But she come off, and Keith was like, no, and I was like, I know, man. Jeez. I was like, that would have been the icing on the cake right there with 30 minutes left in the tournament. And like a couple casts later, I made the same throw and hooked one probably about 3.5, 3.75, maybe 4, probably not, but it's probably high threes. Come up and eat it. And I mean, I let her have it. I set the hook, stuck her, come right off. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't my day. But, you know, Jordan had a day. He called him really well. He was really consistent as far as numbers and, you know, 15, 16, 17 inch fish. And that's what we needed. And Joe caught, you know, a couple of good ones. But, you know, really the story is Dan. I mean, Dan had a day. I mean, Dan had 96 and some odd inches. I think it was like 96.25 or something like that in his best five. And really, I mean, he just literally carried all the weight on his shoulders that day. I mean, there's nothing else to say about it. I mean, he just he went out there and I mean, I don't know if a lot of if you don't know Dan, you need to know him, but he is like super cool, calm, collect. I mean, you can't get to him. You know, he does well under pressure. And I mean, he had a pattern, he stuck to it, and he ran that, and I mean, he stuck the good fish and got him in the boat. And I mean, it was just, he carried the weight of the team, and, you know, he ended up getting MVP of the tournament off his performance. So, you know, hats off to him. But that's the cool thing about the KFL, though, is, you know, throughout the year, everybody has had their chance at carrying the weight because, you know, like some of our home events, you know, like one event I had like 7 fish, you know, got to carry a little bit of the weight. Chuck did it in one of the home events. You know, Dan did it in one of the last home events. I mean, it's been like that all year. Like, you know, and that's what's so cool about it is if, you know, if you necessarily ain't, or you're struggling, or you're not having a good day, your team can, you know, pick up your slack. And that's, I think that's what made us so close was, you know, we all respected each other and understood that and didn't care. You know, I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, we won. And we didn't care how we won, but as long as we won, we were all happy. You know, if I caught 0 fish or 1 fish or 10 fish, you know, we were just happy to be a part of it and happy to be a part of the team. And, you know, just wanting to get the win was the only goal. So it was a special year, and it'll be hard to top what we've done. I mean, it'll be hard to have the same team or, you know, have the same results or, but you know, it can be done, but it'll be hard. This year was really a special year for us.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, that's Obviously, it's going to be hard to repeat.
Yeah, really hard.
Especially like more teams are joining, more competition coming in every single year. It's obviously a growing league. It's something that I will be involved in this upcoming year. But it seems like a great platform. It's a great chance for guys to come out and show what they can do, and also when they're not on their best A game, for someone to help them out. You know, like right. You were saying, it's not. It takes the single guy. You know, the normal tournaments is you're by yourself, and it kind of makes it fun again. Where if you're having a bad day, someone can come and help you out instead of, I'm having a bad day. This tournament's not going my way. This is crap. Why did I come here? All those things that run through your head.
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
you know. But you know, we're about 23 minutes in, and we kind of covered most of the KFL stuff. How did your single tournament go this year?
Well, this year I'd made my mind up. I was gonna just basically solely focus on the national level as far as, you know, Hobie or bass or stuff like that. I did fish one Hobie event at Eufaula. Didn't do too hot. I really struggled at the whole practice and the event. I just couldn't get them in the boat. I couldn't feel a limit. I mean, it was sucky on my part. But you know, we all have them days. But I wanted to focus, you know, I knew going into this, if we didn't put all our time, you know, all our eggs in one basket for the KFL, that, you know, we were going to either come up short or lose. And, you know, we knew, like, hey, you know, we want to make a run at this thing. And we got the guys on the team to make a run at it. We just got to focus on it. And, you know, our minds all need to be in the same place. And so we did it, you know, me and Dan, a lot of the guys dedicated our whole year to the KFL, you know, practicing and, you know, practicing as much as we could on these events coming up, you know, taking time off work. And it was, I mean, that's what it took. It took time on the water to, you know, prepare for this. And we fished some local stuff in between, you know, the KFL stuff. And I've really enjoyed fishing with Iron City Kayak Anglers. And, you know, we had our state championship, our Alabama state championship. And I got second here at home in a joint event with Iron City and Coosa River Kayak Anglers. And then I got second at, the Bankhead event. And, those are just, you know, two of my favorite events. And that's just a super fun trail. If you're around, you know, Birmingham or Gadsden, and you want to start kayak fishing, you know, join Iron City. I mean, it's a great trail ran by great people. You know, there's not a lot of drama or nothing like that. I mean, it's just, you know, guys that just want to fish and they have the events on some really, really good fisheries. So it's fun to fish that trail and get to fish those places. But that's really what I like to fish when I'm not traveling or nothing, is with Iron City. I mean, I enjoy it. It's, you know, Dan and Chuck and Lance and a lot of the guys fish that trail. So, and our state championship was on the Coosa River in Wetumpka. And, you know, Lance had a really good day. Lance had a 9-inch stringer. I think Lance got third, if I remember right. And my one big fish, I caught a 22-inch largemouth. So we had a pretty good year locally and, you know, and traveling. But, you know, next year I made a few changes as far as what I'm using and, you know, like sponsors and stuff like that. So next year I'm just going to try to fish as much national stuff as possible, you know, for the, you know, Hobie BOS series and, you know, waiting for the bass schedule to come out. That's my goal for next year, is just like, I'm preparing for it now. You know, I mean, like I hear some people say, oh, it's, you know, it's winter time, you know, you deer hunt, and I deer hunt too, so I can't say anything, but, you know, I'm like right now I'm already rigging my stuff. I'm already switching stuff out. I'm getting prepared for next year. 'Cause you know, February, the first BOS series at the Harris Chain is February, and I mean, it'll be here before we know it. And so I want to get everything squared away now and work out all the kinks and be ready for when stuff starts rolling around. And I enjoy fishing the national events, and I enjoy fishing the solo stuff. I don't think we're going to do the KFL next year for the Coosa Kingfishers. I think we've all agreed that we've all got family stuff going on, and me and Dan's kind of wanting to travel and, you know, fish bass stuff because we're on the same kayak team now. So me and him's going to we have the same sponsor. So me and him's going to probably stay together a good bit and travel together. And it's going to be a good time. I'm excited for 2023, and I appreciate all the people that supported us in 2022, you know, Dugout, that was one of our sponsors, and, you know, Cherokee County, and, you know, Bio Batteries, and, I mean, there's a bunch of them, and I appreciate them for supporting us and helping us out, and, you know, but I'm just excited for 2023 and see what it's got in store. The Hobie Series looks really good. I know that. I know the Hobie BOS, it's a fun – I was fortunate enough to win one Hobie BOS championship, and that kind of, like, you know, lit a fire, I guess. And I want to just get back to that and, you know, try to be competitive up there again and fish against the best. And that was, I don't know, it was really special for me to win that one because it was here. It was at home, and I feel like a lot of people at home, they struggle. And so when I won that one, it was kind of like, yes, I can do it. And then going to the TOC and getting fourth was almost sweeter than winning it. You know, I mean, it was a good experience, and I like AJ and all those guys. So I'm looking really forward to fishing their trail this next year and trying to make as many of those events as I can. Schedule looks pretty juicy.
Yeah, that's good to hear, man. I was going to ask about sponsors, but it's kind of, you kind of went off and named a couple already.
Well, for 2023, I will be fishing for Bucks Island Marine in Southside, Alabama. So if you need any Hobies or any Jacksons, they are a Hobie Jackson dealer. I'm on the Jackson team. So if there's anything anybody needs as far as Jackson wise or they want to look at, feel free to hit me up or call Bucks, and we can get you to demo a boat or, you know, whatever, you know, if somebody wants to look at them. The shop's actually getting, I think, five of the new Coosa X's. I don't know if you've seen those, but they are sweet.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I've seen the video come out. Well, not the video, but the picture come out. I haven't actually looked into the video of the walkthrough.
Yeah. Well, check out my Facebook. I'd shared a video of it on there. And I mean, it's going to be a game changer for, you know, rivers and guys that like doing long river floats. And
I mean, that boat was already designed for the river to begin with.
Oh, yeah. They basically just, you know, it's the same thing, but they've changed so much to it. I mean, it's got the horizontal rod storage. I like the length and the width on it. It's 11 foot 8. It's 36 inches wide. It's got a completely new seat. It's got the horizontal rod storage. It's the foot pegs they've changed. And I mean, it's a sweet little boat. So if anybody's wanting one of those, let me know or let Bucks know. And I mean, they've got, you know, all kind of, I mean, we got NARS at Bucks. We've got the Coosa FDs. We've got Coosa HDs, which the Coosa HD, I don't know how many more of those will be available because the Coosa X is taking the Coosa HD spot. So.
Nice. All right, man. Well, I've had you on for a little over 30 minutes. Anything else you'd like to say before we close it out here?
No, I just appreciate having me on. It's always a pleasure talking fishing and stuff. So I really enjoy it. And good luck Absolutely. To everybody. And good luck to everybody in 2023. And
yeah, now it's just a matter of it coming around.
Yeah.
All right, man. I appreciate you joining me, and have a good rest of the day, dude.
All right. You too, man. I appreciate it.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.